Winston Peters is kindly with us. Hey, Winston Tinakwe, it's good to talk with you today.
You're right.
Tinakwe, hi. I just, by coincidence, was just mentioning some of the events on the 31st of August. It's the day that Norman Kirk died back in 1974. Did you rate him?
Yes, look, I saw him at a meeting when I was a young student, campaigning, of course. It wasn't a successful campaign for him, but I saw him twice, once at Auckland University, once in the town hall, long time ago.
Long time ago.
So, yeah.
Could you have worked with him?
I can't say that. I just didn't at all well enough, and I think he had an awfully difficult job because when he got to be the Prime Minister in 1972, literally no one in his cabinet had any experience at all. And so that was a tragedy for him, and it made his life very difficult. That's my understanding of it.
Thank you, Winston. It's been quite a week where you've got Labor saying, we can't work with Winston. I'm a bit surprised. I mean, hey, we get on all right, don't we, Winston? So I don't know what they're worried about. You're like the bad boy, and then Luxon won't confirm or deny, and so the door seems slightly open there. It's been a lot of heat, as though you're the boogeyman. Oh, you don't see yourself as that, do you?
Now, the disgrace here, Dale, all those journalists trying to get people to say something like that as though that they're in control of this election is a disgraceful anti-democratic move on the part of the media in this case, because it's the public's business and the voters' business to decide this question. They'll decide who's going with who and on what terms and when and how many there. But every day I've been seeing this disgusting behaviour from mainstream media, and I'm not going to put up with it. I'm just telling them to naff off. Stop being anti-democratic and let the public decide.
Well, and so in that sense, you know, talking polls, talking about the makeup, I mean, you're just going into bat as best you can anyway and sending in your soldiers like Shane Jones on TikTok. How do you put up with that, Winston?
Because we're like the famous Phil Collins song, we don't want to hear both sides of the story. And if you've ever heard that song, you'll know what I mean. That's what the journalists will be doing as well. Telling everybody both sides of the story. But what's happened here, and I said it a long time ago, I said to my team and I said publicly in a speech, when New Zealand First starts rising in the polls, watch the counterattack and the dirt and the filth from certain people. And it's there and it's not going to work. They're going to fail. And it's a volume I saw yesterday's paper. There's another attack by Richard Preble. And with the greatest respect, why doesn't he just go and forget about it? If you're not in the game, stay on the sideline and stop carrying on like you're an expert, which you most certainly were not. And when I was in policy marketing, I used to walk all over you. Remember the Cook Strait Ferry grounding, Mikhail Limitov grounding, all those things. So, Richard, why are you getting there writing articles and paying the paper to run them, attacking a political party when you're not even in the game anymore?
Many are a bit confused by your messaging, I'd suggest, because you come across as a proud Māori man, pro-Māori. And then on the other hand, you say, but I don't think we should have a Māori Health Authority and other Māori initiatives that you think are out of step with modern-day New Zealand. What would you say to your Māori listeners predominantly here on our platform, Te Tukana, about your attitude to Māori development?
Well, as Iritana Faihirirangi said, Winston is not anti-Māori, he's anti-nonsense. And she knows that because I was there at the time supporting Kohanga Royal. Started, as you know, Kapa Haka. You remember that? Who started that? Who started Māori Sports Awards and putting the money up for it? You're talking to him. So when you hear these people saying that because I oppose their racist ideas, no, I'm not anti-Māori. I'm anti an elite Māori, screwing the Māori people in their numbers, making demands that are not good for the ordinary Māori, whilst they get all the benefits. When a Māori gets sick with their family or themselves, and they go to hospital, they want to get an operation. They want to get treatment. They don't want to be in long waiting list because somebody screwed up the Paraora, which has been a most unaccountable organization. And I'm saying to some of those radical Māori, we're not putting up with your rubbish any longer. We want to go back to building Māori in their great numbers, the things that they do want, which is first world wages, which is a decent education system for their children, take them as far as they can go, and an access to a health system which is affordable and immediate, and a decent, affordable home, which is what Māori want. Now, that's what I stand for. That's what I've always stood for. And yet I've seen all this money, and I can tell you now, if you were to give me that money that they're wasting on some of these Māori, so-called Māori projects, in inverted commas, I could have housed every Maori family in New Zealand. That's what we're up against, and that's what I stand for.
That's a bold claim, but anyway, I respect your right to say it. So how therefore would you address the inequities in health, which are stark, obvious, there's data to back it up? One way was to try something that hadn't been tried, and that's a Māori Health Authority, for instance. So we need, if you're going to be part of disestablishing a kaupapa like that, we need to come up with an alternative. What would be yours to address the obvious inequities in health for Māori?
Dale, you'll remember very well, Dale, the American Civil Rights Movement, and they set out to get equity and fairness for black people, and there was a famous series called Eyes on the Prize. The black people of America trying to get civil liberties and freedom and fairness did not try and start up their own institutions. They tried to bust down the doors to the best institutions. And that's what New Zealand First believes. We want Maori to access the best universities, the best in medicine, the best everything. And that has been our aim ever since we formed and from a long career in politics, to keep our eyes on the prize. This duality is bringing and delivering inferior medicine. It'll deliver inferior education, inferior everything, because we just haven't got that sort of money, and nor you see first world countries elsewhere taking that sort of pathway. So that's the reason I'm arguing for it. And when you say it's a bold claim on housing, no, it's not. You look at the billions we've spent on all sorts of projects without any outcomes, and we could have started Maori into their homes everywhere around this country, which is what was happening dramatically in the 50s and the 60s when Maori were going with the Maori Affairs housing loan into housing for the first time of a modern type, so to speak. It's just that we've spent so much money with nothing to show for it.
It seems that the rhetoric, one person, one vote, which we know needs to be debunked because everyone gets two votes, but anyway, that's the line that's being trotted out. And race-based parties, it feels as though some politicians, and I'd like your view on this, are uncomfortable using the term Māori because that identifies us as a particular group. One New Zealand, we're all the same, is the one-size-fits-all sort of approach. Do you sense that people are politically trying to minimise the use of the term Māori?
Not at all. No, no one's trying to minimise the term of Māori at all. And when you say this cute idea that some people are using it's two votes, so it can't be one person, one vote, well, that's actually drivel. Let me tell you why. There are two votes, yes, but there are one vote, first of all, for a party candidate of your choice, and another vote for the party of your choice. So it's two separate votes, and it's one vote in the first case, and it's one vote in the second case, all the same. So let's not have these sociological humbuggers trying to tell you this is really a big difference, and people are talking nonsense when they talk about one person, one vote, and each vote of the same value. They're not. They're talking about a thing called democracy, and we're not having those radicals trash it.
The perception is that that New Zealand First and ACT are singing off the same song sheet as far as their plans for tangata whenua are concerned. What would you say to that?
Dale, you're far too intelligent guy to believe that what you just said. Every Māori out there knows that Winston Peters has been on the same message his whole political career, not coming along because it might sound politically popular. You know something? I just told you what Tony Fashman-Karangi said. She said that Winston's not anti-Māori, he's anti-nonsense. But I can run through a whole list, pages long, of what I've done to, and I believe in supporting the Māori people of this country, all over this country, regardless of where. And they'll take you all day. And so just come along and say it, because the ACT Party has grabbed something that's, you know, as they say, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery, that somehow we're singing from the same hymn sheet. No, they thought they could steal our hymn sheet, but they don't know, in terms of politics, the right church, so to speak.
When are we going to... This whole standoff with Luxon, oh, I don't know. I'll have to stay quiet on this one. You guys obviously haven't had a cup of tea, and that's a hot topic. They've thrown out their tax kaupapa. Meanwhile, you're trundling on with your hui left, right, and centre. Does it matter to you what sort of rhetoric comes from Seymour or from Luxon?
No, it doesn't. And look, I'm just for the umpteenth time. Everyone's asking me these questions. There's journalists coming down from all over the place. I'm packing the halls out. I was at Timaru and Ashburton in the last few days, and now I'm in Dunedin. But look, they're all asking this question as though it's about them. It's not about Radio New Zealand. It's not about TVNZ. It's not about any journalist. Why don't they just report the campaign and stop trying to interpret what's going on? Because they're in for a massive shock, and that's the reason why they're getting so unnerved. They thought that New Zealand First was a goner. Now they're rising in the polls every day, and they can't stand a thing called democracy, which we stand for.
Well, I apologise and withdraw. All right. All right, Winston, all the best on the hustings. We'll talk again soon. Thanks very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much, and good luck today.
Te rākehi.